I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Talking Movies, Pictures, Movies Show.
Talking movies. Welcome to the Talking Movies, Pictures, Movies Show with me, Tim Goodings.
Andy Price.
That's him. Hi, Andy.
Hey, Tim. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good.
Feeling, yep. It's been a year.
No.
The last episode, the bonus episode of last week, went up exactly a year to the day from the first episode going up. So I think it's about time that we really shake things up.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Get this...
party started.
Get this party started and just, you know, do exactly what we've always been doing for the last year and just keep everything the same. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Okay, that's. I think that'd be nice, just to really, really shake things up by making sure that what we're doing is exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
First of all, just to shake things up, we are going to start with Marvel news.
Ooh, makes a nice change.
But interestingly, we have been doing this for a year, and we only had a year's worth of Marvel news. Saved it all up. I've just run out. So that's Marvel news. This episode is that
is the news that
currently there isn't
out.
Any.
Ooh.
From me. So what's next then after we've nailed Marvel news?
Well, let's talk about the big movie of this week.
Which is
Blade Runner.
Blade Runner 30, 40, 50, 20, 49. Is it?
Yeah, so obviously I've been keeping up with all the promo.
That is obvious.
Of the movie. I showed you that little clip of old Harry Fordy.
Yeah, Harry Ford's.
The GQ interview that people are talking about.
Good call, yeah.
And it's, we'll play a clip now.
Let's start with the $64,000 question. I mean, this is the third film franchise you've returned to, this one 35 years after the original.
So what?
Well, I'm just wondering,
you what got a problem with that? It's a living.
These characters mean a ton to your fans. Do you feel nostalgic about returning to them? Or do you sort of try to approach it like, well, this is almost like a new character that 35 years on, I'm not gonna be the same person that I am now.
It's the same thing, only better. The question I was asked was, all right, do you have the intention of rebooting every successful franchise you've ever done? And I said, you bet your ass I have. What?
Feel free to be brutally honest.
F*** you.
So as you can see, Harrison Ford has just not stepped off the gas. I think for a man that's been doing it for a good, you know, 40, 50 years on the promo circuit would be like sick and tired of the questions, but he's not. He's just...
He's all over it.
You know, old face, young mind.
Those answers, I mean, you can tell, you can't see the interviewer's face, but you can feel him just sort of flinching at the kind of answer bullets,
exactly.
Just whizzing past his face.
What I really liked about the interview was like the interviewer's ability to kind of take Harrison Ford's answers and just really dig down into his responses and kind of...
The follow-up questions, certainly.
The follow-up questions, certainly.
You can always tell the sign of a good interview when the answers are shorter than the questions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's when you know that it's like he's really got to the crux of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm. And I think that, I mean, and obviously it's going to be coming across to the listeners that I am a massive Harrison Ford fan. I've been following his career since I was a little baby boy.
Can I say... What I like about the interview is that if you didn't know much about Blade Runner 2049 or much about Harrison Ford...
You do now. I thought for this intro, maybe you could interview me about Harrison Ford, so the listeners can get, you know, as enthusiastic about as me.
I think I've learned some of the techniques from having seen. Obviously, we're interviewers anyway, but I think I want to take some of the techniques that that interviewer has used on Harry Ford's and just see if we can apply that to a Harrison Ford fan, super fan, such as yourself.
And I'll give you some nugs of information that just have never come up before.
Serious nugs.
Heavy dollops of nugs. So this is going to be a retrospective of Harrison Ford's works from the mind of a Harrison Ford super fan. And I just want, you know, I want the listeners to get on board with his work. Ask me about it. I've got all the answers. All right, I'm looking forward to giving some detailed, in-depth information about, I mean, he's already done it himself, but I'm hoping to offer a bit more, maybe some like, you know, maybe predictions for the future, see what he's going to be doing there, how he might feel about it. It's going to be great.
So, I mean, one of the things that you think about when you think about Harrison Ford is you think vital to the movie industry and has a youthful vitality to him. Which makes him really the right person to constantly refresh himself and remake himself and rebrand himself in the movie world. He's, you know, he's like a sort of movie David Bowie, you might say. He's really a chameleon. If chameleons did different things all the time, which obviously they don't, he's more like a mimic octopus. This is why it's so good to get him to reboot his own movies. Is he just turns on a dime, you know, and he changes what the movie is, and it really refreshes it for a modern audience. And I wondered if another of his famous movies could be rebooted in that spirit. One of his most famous movies that I remember from many years ago was Expendables 3. And I just thought that his performance in that was, you know, typically nuanced and subtle and characterful. But I do wonder if he could just bring a new spin on it and we could see an Expendables 3 2 or an Expendables, you know, 3 2049 done in the next few years. And if that would at all be, you know, entertaining for people, and if it's something that we can really change in a necessary way to make it worthwhile.
You bet your ass.
Wow, yeah. I'm glad that you agree. That's so insightful. Thank you. Another sort of movie that I was thinking about in terms of Harrison's career is, obviously, he's best known for his work in the sci-fi genre, particularly Star Wars, where he was the same character for four different movies, which again really shows his range, especially in the fourth one, when you notice that he's almost playing himself, which is sort of a role we've not seen him do at all ever. And another famous sci-fi franchise which he, you know, turned his hand to was, of course, Ender's Game from, good Lord, must be 40 years ago now, based on the sci-fi novel Ender's Game. And where he played the sort of mentor figure, a kind of an elder statesman of that world, a sort of, I think he was a military man, you might say. Again, quite a departure for Harrison. And I just wondered if we could maybe see him reboot Ender's Game and get that into that sort of modern world of what that would look like now in the future, even though it is in the future.
Oh, you bet your ass.
Yeah, I would bet my ass that it would be a smash hit. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for giving us that level of insight from a true Harrison Ford super fan like yourself. Another movie that I think would be, you know, ripe for this sort of classic Harrison Fordian treatment of updating for a modern audience and bringing that sort of sheen to an old dusty franchise. For example, Cowboys and Aliens. I mean, we know that movie was made, good Lord, such a long time ago, at least 5 years. Again, he's got a cowboy hat on, which we've not seen him do before, certainly not in his most famous role. And that was refreshing for everyone to see. But could he do it again? And could he be a cowboy again and not an alien and just keep it the same but update it for all the people that didn't see the first one, which is most people? And just what would that even be?
Well, I mean, you bet your ass. That's what it'll be.
Thank you. I mean, yeah.
Is that right?
I think it's refreshing, honestly, because you get these, you know, you talk to people in the movie industry and you just hear the same things over and over again. They're just yes men.
Yeah, exactly.
And I just, yes, we just say the same thing over and over again.
And can I say, Tim, those were great questions. And
thank
it
you.
Really allowed me to kind of delve back into my mind as a Harrison Ford super fan.
I could see the cogs, yeah.
You know, and I really feel that we kind of got some information out there that you'd really have to dig deep to find elsewhere. And well, it was nice to be able to showcase my super fan knowledge. So
yeah, definitely. It was nice to finally just drag that out of you. Mm-hmm, like I said, it was kind of... Mm-hmm. Seeping through occasionally in previous episodes, but nice now to finally see it. You able to just splurge and just really just flow forth with your Indiana Jones, Harrison Ford, Han Solo knowledge.
Mm. So, Blade Runner 2049 in cinemas now.
But that's not... We're not advertising it because that's not what we do.
Oh, God, no.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us, Reardon.
Thank you.
It's very nice to have you here. Nice of you to take a bit of time out of your busy schedule to join us. Talk about your brand new film, which we're all very excited about.
Yeah, it's been nonstop since January.
The press tour?
Yeah, the press tour, yeah.
That's quite long. You're really building to... So is this that was like previous Oscar season, now just building up to next Oscar season, where you're just like, you just missed the boat?
We want everyone in the world to watch this film. So the aim
that's
is to get
quite an ambition.
To every town.
If only any other film wanted that.
Yeah.
You know? Obviously, they're just not aiming high enough.
We're aiming to win the best film of ever.
The big one?
Yeah, the big one. Well,
the film competitions.
Yeah, the film competitions. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The big boy Oscars.
The Oscars.
So in many ways, we don't even have to promote this film because it's already going straight to the top.
Hey,
so
whoa,
we just
hold
talk
on
about
there,
our days?
Well, wait a minute, Andy.
What?
What we're here to do.
No.
Problem is, we haven't done any press in the UK at all.
This is your first UK interview, so the whole of the... Since January, you've just been all over the rest of the world.
Well,
do you miss your family?
No, I haven't got any.
Okay. Because you're in your 50s, obviously, and the fact that you've not...
I'm in my 50s, but like... It's all right because in most films I have to play a child.
So that for that reason, it's all right.
Yeah.
Children are famously loners by nature. So you're able to get into that mindset of like you are 50-year-old
man,
never married.
Well, children don't really have families, so it's fine.
Okay. I'm wondering if that's a sort of singular experience that you had as a child
yeah.
as opposed to a universal one. But, you know, fair enough.
How old was the child you played in this movie that we're here to talk about today?
Yeah, he was 12. Yeah.
Good age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was a good age. And it was a bit of a stretch for me because I am 50 and normally I sort of play 7, 8 year olds. So I have to sort of act up a bit, but I did it.
You had to act up, okay.
Well, tell us a little bit about the process you went through to kind of gain the skills that took you from 7 to 12.
Well, it was mainly sort of progressing on from playing sort of board games into computer games, because like obviously...
That's the difference.
Yeah, like you can't play... You're not allowed to play computer games until you're 10. I was, because I didn't have any family, so I could do what I wanted.
Well, of course.
But I didn't...
But you understand the plight of the common man.
And as a 50-year-old, that was very impressive that you were able to source those kind of mechanical games during the 60s?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean,
we're talking first prototypes here.
Early 70s.
Lovely.
Yeah, come on, Andy.
PlayStation Boy.
Yeah.
That's another of my interests.
Oh, okay. Oh, thoughts on Hefner?
Who was Hefner?
Hugh Hefner, the...
Oh, old Huey boy. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, sorry. I haven't heard anyone say his name for bloody donkey's years.
Not even in the past week when he died.
He's died? Are you joking?
Oh, sorry. Were you close friends?
We went on holiday to Malaga last year.
With some bunnies?
No. Just me and him.
Oh, naturally, yeah. He's got to get away from the wife, hasn't he?
He died.
I haven't had internet
for the past 3 weeks.
Now, it's interesting, obviously, I can understand why it's such a difficult situation for you to not know Hughes died, since he was such a prominent figure in the film. Who was it that played him?
So his character name or like his real name?
Well, the character name's Hugh Hefner.
Character name's Hugh Hefner, yeah, but I never called him that in the film.
Okay.
Because in the film he was known as Big Huey Boy.
Big Huey Boy, right, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see that, I guess, when we watch the film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And who is the actor that played Big Huey Boy?
John Johnson.
He's someone that's really blowing up.
He is possibly the biggest actor in the world right now.
Currently.
Yeah.
John Johnson.
Yeah, he's only done two films, but he's fucking, like, I mean, two big films.
Okay, that you'd know him from,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what was the previous, so I assume this is the second, or is this?
Well, no, you wouldn't have seen this one yet, because it's not quite out. Right, so he's done two.
The two others?
The two others, yeah.
And what were they?
That was The Reader.
Oh, yeah.
With Kate Winslet. Mm-hmm. He was in that.
Was he the book? That was being read?
He was the train guard.
Okay. What was the other film that we know him from?
Deadpool.
Oh, and he played...
Okay. I didn't watch that.
Yeah.
So you just know he's in it, you don't know who he is?
In that film?
Mm.
No, not in that film. But he told me he was sort of the main guy.
Have you seen The Reader, Tim?
Deadpool.
Have you seen The Reader?
No.
Have you seen Deadpool?
Yes.
Okay, I've seen Reader and I haven't seen Deadpool. Have you seen either?
I've seen The Reader, but I haven't seen Deadpool.
But we've both
seen Reader, so would we know who he is? Because I know who the train guard is.
Well, I know who Deadpool is.
And was he the train guard? No, because you haven't seen The Reader.
Wait, which one have you seen, Andy?
The Reader.
And the other one?
The Deadpool.
You've not seen The Deadpool?
No, I haven't.
Did you see The Deadpool?
No, I haven't seen The Deadpool.
But you did see Reader.
So you would know the train guard, and who was in Deadpool was, because you've seen Deadpool, so you would know.
Well, which one was he in Deadpool? Was he the Deadpool, or was he?
He was the one that looked like he looked like the guard in.
But I don't know which one he was.
He might have been wearing a mask.
Oh,
the Deadpool.
The Deadpool.
Was it the Deadpool?
How do you kill a pool? That's what I
drown
want to
it.
Know.
Hey, spoilers. Spoilers.
Drown it, yeah.
You drown it. Drown I mean, it. You've ruined the end, but that is... So he plays Big Huey Boy. And now, how old is he in real life? Because obviously Hefner in the film, this is a flashback, obviously, to Hefner's heyday.
Yeah, 15th century. It's set in the 17th century, but there is time travel.
Okay, so some of it's in the present day?
Well, me and Hef, we're in the present day.
Okay.
And we have to go back to the 17th century.
To right some wrongs.
To wrong some rights.
Ah, too many rights for what, minorities? What are we talking about?
We're talking about sort of pre-1750 Russia.
And what is it that you've got to change? What's the exciting incident?
There's a fight between a dad and his daughter.
Oh, that is exciting.
Goodness me. Okay. I think we've all heard this historical event, but how does that, and you have to stop this happening?
Yeah.
And sort of, you know, forced butterfly effect to kind of change the present.
Well, it hasn't changed it much. It's just Big Huey Boy doesn't like it.
He just heard about a fight between the father and daughter.
Yeah, and he came to me. Could I work on the police force?
Do you think that? So is it the situation where Big Hugh Hefner, Huey Boy, is trying to maybe deliberately make up for his mistakes in the past, where he's realized that all of his Playboy bunnies have father issues, and he is trying to right those wrongs?
Yeah, I mean, the girl in this film, or not in the film, but in real life, that we're traveling back to, she was she was treated poorly.
On set?
On set. What kind of a question is that?
I'm so sorry.
No, in so we travel back because we travel back to save her, basically, from her dad.
From her dad, okay.
Yeah, who was absolute Egypt of the highest order.
Serious Egypt,
yes,
you're talking?
Yeah.
Mm. Was he Irish?
No, Russian.
Oh, okay. Of course. A 17th century Russian man.
I'm surprised you haven't heard of this. On like we've been like around the world. Like it's pretty big.
I'll be honest. We all know all about it, but this is for the benefit of the listener. This is for people that haven't, otherwise, why would they be listening to it if they already know about it?
Who played the Russian dad in the movie?
Who played the Russian dad?
Thank you, Tim.
Tim Key.
Ah, comedian.
Tim Key, comedian. Yeah.
The comedian, Tim Key.
He's got a beard, and to have this role, you have to have a beard.
Right, and he's probably the only guy in the UK right now with a beard as well.
Well, he was the only guy in the UK with a beard that was free to travel
to Russia.
To Russia.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And also, we needed someone to drive.
The only person that was free
drove
in the UK
to Russia.
Yeah, we drove.
Why did you decide to drive to Russia?
Because the girl in this, the girl that played the girl in the film,
daughter, yeah, the actress,
like has a can't deal with planes.
No shit.
She's got a phobia of planes.
Of planes or of flying in planes?
No, of planes.
Just being around them, even when they're on the ground. So if you could get her onto a plane mid-air, she'd be fine.
Yeah.
But it seems unnatural to her because their natural habitat is in the air. They fly. That's what they're for. But to see it stationary, that freaks her out.
Why don't you take a helicopter?
Great question.
Thanks, Tim.
They weren't invented. They weren't.
Oh, because it's 1750s Russia, of course. Also, method
travelling.
We thought like it'd be a bit. Sort
but of
like.
Course, cars have a long storied history right back to the 15th century.
Yeah. So it was Honda, which I think goes back to
oh god, it's the oldest car. It's the oldest car manufacturer.
Oh, yeah. So like the film was sponsored by Honda as well.
Oh good.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so that's obviously
which is like how it like because Honda's Japanese, so that's how we're bringing it to the wider market.
That's how you're doing it.
Well, we're going to stream it onto, you know, like cars sometimes have screens on the back of the seats.
Not sure about that. Thoughts, Andy?
No, you're thinking of planes.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, they're bringing them in.
Honda, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, is this a breaking news?
Great question.
Well,
Tim.
It's not breaking news, but it is news.
What sorts of person is going to love this character that you play?
Probably.
I mean, I've got much into your character.
And what character do you play?
So I play a police boy.
Famous mid 17th century police boy.
Present day.
They travel back, Andy.
Big Huey boy comes to me.
Oh, and it's the mid 18th century.
And you're the
1750s.
Head police boy?
Well,
that's why he comes to you specifically?
No, I'm deputy. Well, he comes to my head, and then obviously delegation.
And who plays the head?
Who plays the head police boy?
Mm-hmm.
My older brother.
Nepotism, or is that just a coincidence you both got the role?
I don't know what nepotism means.
Okay, well then can't be.
Can't be, no.
If you don't even know what it is, then how could it possibly
Didn't we have this question on the last episode of the podcast? We had to explain what nepotism meant. Very few people. So I had I think I nailed the explanation last time. So nepotism is when there's one person and there's another person.
That's good.
And that's nepotism.
Like now.
Yeah. No, there's three of us, so that's not nepotism.
Yeah. Oh, really?
That's threpotism.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That's pretty rank.
Yeah.
Let's not leave that alone. Yes. But you play the deputy head police boy.
Deputy head police boy.
You get delegated, your older brother.
Yep. Big Huey boy comes to him, says, I've got this problem back in 17th century Russia.
I heard an old man was shouting at his daughter.
Old man, well, not shouting, just being very strict.
Oh,
real abuse, no real physical abuse.
Well,
or even chatted, but
you'd be disappointed if you weren't allowed to change your name.
Oh,
yeah.
That's asked how strict he was. It was he wouldn't let her change her name.
What was her name, and what did she want to change it to?
Her name was Frederick II.
Yes,
interesting.
Because he named it was
Frederick I.
He was Frederick I.
Yes,
well,
only child.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wanted a boy. Called it Frederick I. She wanted to change it.
She wanted a girl's name, did she?
Yeah,
or just another boy's name?
No, she wanted a girl's name.
Or a different number.
Yeah. Well, no, she wanted to be called Caitlin.
Oh, Caitlin the seventh. Or
no, just I don't think Caitlin had reached Russia.
She wanted to be the first Caitlin.
She wanted to be just
That's arrogant.
Wait, is that where the name Caitlin comes from? Back in the 17th century Russia.
Well,
would she have been the first Caitlin ever we've had?
She would have been, but obviously it didn't happen because her dad didn't let her.
So strict.
So.
But then after the events of the movie, you go back and do you maybe loosen him up a bit?
No, it didn't work.
Tickle him,
It was a failure.
Yeah, finger at the bum.
It was a failure up until the twist.
Oh, say no more. more twists.
Yeah, so that's the thing that will probably draw people in. The twist is beyond belief.
You say there's a twist and they'll definitely go, ah, I won't be expecting it, but I know something will happen.
Yeah. If the twist is beyond belief, does that ruin the suspension of disbelief that you're expecting the audience to have? Is that
no.
No.
Oh, great answer.
That is a really good answer. Really strong. Did Caitlin's father, or did she ever become Caitlin?
Let's not ruin it.
Did Frederick II's father stop her from doing anything else? Was it just the name thing, or did he not let her go to the movies, hang out with boys, anything like that? Or
well, there was a rule that he created that, which is related to the name thing.
So it all ties in.
So there was a rule at the time that you weren't allowed to drive more than 3.5 hours away from your house
in a Honda,
in any car. That was the rule.
Christ. But Honda's obviously was the only car that was around by then.
Well, so, Honda, I mean, Honda,
by default, it would have been a Honda.
Hondas and Minis. So yeah. But the problem was the depot center, which is where she would have changed her name, was 3 hours, 45 minutes.
Away. Oh,
shit. What if she did it in increments or moved closer? Or was that too...
She wasn't allowed to...
Couldn't move unless you're your dad.
Oh, yeah, he is strict. Very strict.
Yeah, she couldn't afford rent.
So explain that scene where you arrive on the scene in the Russia scene.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
It didn't really make sense to me. So if you could break it down and tell us what the motivations of the character was.
What was the method of time travel in the film?
Car.
Honda?
So back to the future, like DeLorean, or you just consider...
There's a portal between Mongolia and Russia.
Always?
Yeah, always.
It's just there anyway, and you just found it, so you just drove straight through. Or you created it?
Well, someone created it for us.
Oh.
So, yeah. Which is...
Second act. Hello.
Go on.
Yeah, so this is the subplot.
Yes.
About...
I see now.
The guy who is also trying to go back through time.
Ah, for a different reason?
The same reason.
But opposite ends? Does he want to keep him strict?
He wants to do all sorts of things to this Frederick the First.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Okay,
He created a portal, we just took advantage of it. Which you would do, wouldn't you? Would do it. You would take advantage of any portal.
You see a portal, you go through a portal. I mean, you knock his block off and get him out of the way, or...?
No.
No, so he's still at large? He's kind of chasing you and you have to evade him while you're trying to get it done.
Well, it sort of ends up helping us because he's interfering so much with Frederick the First.
Yes.
We're actually trying to help Caitlin because we don't call her Frederick the Second because we think that's sort of inappropriate. We call her Caitlin from the off.
Because that's what she wants. Caitlin in a Frederick's body.
Yeah, well, I mean, we argue that there's no such thing as a Frederick's body. That's her argument. She says that
Interesting. It's all in the mind.
All in the mind.
What you are in your mind is what you are outside. I've always said that.
What I am in my mind is what I am inside as well. Yeah. When I'm at the house.
Yeah. Oh, but that is... Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Inside your mind or just inside?
No, outside my mind, inside the house.
Wait, what about when you're outside the house?
I'm inside my mind.
Yeah, I think we should focus on this banging film instead of you two because it's
go on.
It's not as bad as it really.
Oh, okay.
Why do you think that?
What?
Why do you think your film is what we should be talking about and not what's inside outside my mind?
Yeah, well, and it's different.
I mean, Inside Out is a movie.
Well, I'm just saying you've got your own. I just think that you talk about yourself too much on this podcast.
Oh,
yeah, we've heard that before.
Oh. I've never heard that before.
Well, we've said it to each other before on the podcast.
I wasn't listening.
Which is part of the problem.
I remember you interviewed a previous movie star. And he didn't he didn't talk at all. He didn't get to say a word.
No, he didn't. I think that you're talking about Michael...
Yeah.
Keaton. Yeah. Yes.
And yes, he obviously came on just fresh off of Birdman. And he was really up his own ass, and we just kind of thought, hey, let's not give him the time of day. Let's show him that we've got a great podcast here and that we're actually better than him.
The problem was Tim opened with the question, why is it called Birdman and not Birdwoman? And I think from that point, we just got his back up.
Because I actually didn't know.
Yeah. And then I asked him why I hadn't made any good films since Beetlejuice and why he waited this long. And even though it was like a veiled compliment about Birdman saying that this is the best film you've done since Beetlejuice, he kind of took it as me saying he's done shit.
Yeah, he thought you were saying even still nothing good.
Yeah.
Even Birdman was bad.
In reality, I was saying both of those things.
Yeah. I don't blame you for cutting him out.
Thank you.
I mean, we just have
many good... But you do wish that we would shut up.
Well...
What's the biggest challenge about taking this role?
Biggest challenge. Well, obviously, I mean, I don't speak Russian.
Yes. I noticed that in the film.
Yes.
You never speak Russian. Yeah. And I thought, I nudged Andy, didn't I?
Because
right
I speak Russian. And I said to you, I was like, I speak Russian, Tim. Yes, and do you know what's always talking about ourselves again? But you just said, that's not Russian. Andy, that sounds completely different to Russian.
I'm wrong, and you
that's
would
definitely
know.
Not Russian.
I said, Andy, correct me if I'm wrong, and you would know because you speak Russian, I don't really speak Russian.
Oh, constantly.
I nudged him in the ribs. I said, Andy, is this Russian I'm hearing?
And I was like, yeah. Oh.
And he said no.
Because he dug me
no,
hard.
Andy.
Like, you think he cracked the third one down.
I only do films where people are speaking Russian.
Oh, that's strange that you would do that even though you don't speak Russian.
Yeah, it's all about...
Is that just your way of like immersing yourself to learn?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Pretty much. Like, well, so in the film, everyone's speaking Russian, but I only speak Polish. Because I can speak Polish.
Sure. Because that's another thing when Tim like nudged me in the ribs. He goes, "Are you speaking Polish?" I go, "I didn't speak Polish. How did you know that?"
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, I speak Polish, and
but
then
I did. I said, "Hey, this is Polish. Get it?"
Exactly, and that's when the second rib
like a lot of people will probably think I'm just speaking Russian with an accent, but it's not.
But those who are the racists.
Well, yeah, those or just not very knowledgeable about different languages,
or both.
Yeah,
like me.
Yeah,
yeah.
Were there any pranks on set?
Yeah, yeah. There were a lot of pranks.
What were the pranks on set?
Yeah. The pranks on set were very, very, very prankish.
Oh, shit.
That's my favourite kind of prank.
So,
prankish.
The main thing was is that we would just make noises in the background.
Yeah.
And just disrupt the filming.
Oh.
So, like, it was funny. Meant to be, like, a two-week shoot. Like, we were there, like, years.
No.
Yeah.
How many?
Like, God. I mean, how many fingers are there on a piece of string?
20.
Great.
Yeah.
That's long.
I think it was about eight. Years, 3 months.
Oh, wow. And were you being paid the whole time?
Yeah.
So in many ways, the crew were probably relieved that they had steady work for 8 years.
Yeah.
Which, did you become a hero on set?
A hero? What, for doing the pranks?
Yeah.
Prolonging the... No, people got annoyed because they missed a lot of family events.
Did you get a lot of thanks on set because of that?
Well, yeah, but I don't really know because obviously everyone's speaking Russian and I'm speaking Polish, so they could have said thanks.
Okay. Well, Andy, what's thank you in Russian?
Cheers.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Did you hear that at all?
Did I hear cheers at
mm-hmm.
all? Yeah.
Oh, so maybe they were saying thank you then.
They probably were saying thank you, but after about sort of 3 weeks of filming, they sort of wanted to go home.
Mm, oh, yes.
Understandably, because, you know, all the events going back home. You know, but you've got to do these things if you want to bond with people. You've got to make good movies, there's got to be sacrifices.
What do you love about your character?
What do I love about him? Well, he's got a moustache.
For a little boy with moustache.
Little police boy
with moustache.
He's always saying witticisms like...
Fire some witticisms in our faces.
Yeah, have you got any lines of dialogue that you think are particularly snappy and fun?
From the film or just on set?
Dialogue, I would say, would constitute from the film.
Oh, do we want
to... Well, if you've got any great jokes from the set...
Yeah, there was this great joke. We would drive... So it was the scene where we're driving to the portal... Days, weeks drive.
Yes, in real time.
Yeah, in real time. We cut bits of it out, but there was this one bit that we kept in. So we were driving and we went past like a sign.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was...
I remember. You remember this bit?
I remember this.
I saw
the sign.
And it said...
I saw the sign.
So we were, at the time, we were probably going through Northern Germany.
Remember?
And I don't speak German. And there was a sign and it came up and it said Berlin.
And you thought, what does that even mean?
And then it said next to it about... 150 kilometers.
Yes.
And I said, and John Johnson said, we're getting nearer to Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, ready? No, I didn't say that. I said, are you ready for the witticism?
I wasn't. Thank you for asking. Are you ready, Andy?
I'm stretching out right now.
Do you want to get a drink or something? Or
could I do a poo?
Just do a quick poo? And we're back. So hold on. Let's just recap for anyone that also did a poo.
Yep. So the scene, we're driving. Driving near Berlin.
Near Berlin. Not there yet.
Not
How
yet.
How far away, in fact? 150 kilometres.
150 kilometres.
According to the sign, because you saw the sign.
According to the sign.
John Johnson says, hey, we're getting closer to Berlin.
And I said, yeah.
And why wasn't that even used in the film? Because seriously...
Well, they used the second take.
Was that in the bloopers?
Well, we did that thing again, so we reversed up the road, and then
of course, what did you say in the second
in
take?
The actual usable take? Yeah,
I said, yeah, we should be getting there soon.
That's not funny at all.
No.
But it's not a film. We know it's not a comedy.
No, it's not. Serious. It's not meant to be a comedy.
What is it?
What?
If it's not a comedy, what is it?
Educational drama, mate.
Ooh.
Yeah. So like we were trying to really branch out.
Did you learn anything, Tim? Did you learn anything?
I learned Hugh who Hefner was.
Yeah.
I learned a little bit about Police Boy, you know, and that character. And
yeah, like he's probably going to be the next Milky Bar kid.
Will he be affiliated with any confectionery?
Boost?
I mean, it could be a
Kit
Boost.
Kit Kat?
Keep going. He's not said yes yet.
I don't know any of us.
No. I mean...
Whisper?
Say that again.
Whisper Gold?
Gold.
Picnic?
Yeah. So his confectionery was actually not chocolate.
Skittles?
No, not sweets or chocolate.
Oh. But it was confectionery.
Yeah.
Ice cream?
No.
I don't know of any confectionery that's not sweets or chocolate.
Froggert?
No, it was toffee.
Oh goodness me. God.
Yeah.
Scuppered.
You idiot. Tim.
So he's a toffee mascot now.
Well, it depends what you mean by mascot, doesn't it?
That's a great question.
Now...
No.
Obviously, another obstacle to this film's accessibility is its title, which is both in Polish and Russian at the same time.
Yeah.
Could you give us the translation in English, please? Just so people can understand.
I actually wanted to just call it Police Boy.
Okay.
But they didn't want that. They came up with a clever pun that incorporated a Russian word and a...
Polish word.
Tsar Warsaw. So...
Okay, and just take us through that.
So, Tsar,
which
is the emperor.
Oh, Tsar.
Yeah,
Tsar. Oh.
Yeah, well, you pronounce it that way. You pronounce it tomato, I pronounce it Tsar. Warsaw, which is the Polish word for Honda.
I see. Right. And what does Tsar mean?
Tsar means emperor, so it's related to this Frederick
emperor,
first.
Emperor Honda.
Honda.
This is why I didn't like it. They said the pun was on the famous film's... thing Star Wars, and they said it was just an extension of that.
The film thing.
Yeah.
What's that?
So what is Star Wars? I've never actually seen it because I don't watch films. I only watch movies.
The problem is if it wasn't in both Polish and Russia and they just said it, then it would be, you know, much clearer.
Oh, we'd all get it straight away.
That is the name.
You mean like Star Wars?
That is the name. We didn't in the English film won't be called Emperor Honda. That's sort of an in joke for the lads.
Sure.
The lads.
It will be called Tsar.
Were there any lads on set?
Yeah, we brought a couple on.
Nice.
Just the lads.
What did they do?
They did pranks.
Lads are doing the pranks.
Pranks galore. Well, I did my own, but the crew sort of got really annoyed at me because they were lasting for 8 years. So they brought just...
Well, you famously do your own pranks, don't you?
Yeah.
You don't get in a prank double to do it for you.
No, but they brought in some lads to try and prank me back. But all they did was like they put a whoopee cushion down every now and again. And yeah.
Just played out, innit?
Yeah, so I got them removed. I didn't really appreciate it. I thought like it was inappropriate to be doing pranks on set.
See, the dangerous thing is when you have someone removed in Russia.
Yeah, that means assassinated.
So you had multiple people, lads, killed.
Three dead lads. Three, well, yeah, I mean, dead in a physical sense.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, but I'm sure their sort of parents still think that they're alive.
Well, that's the trick, is it?
Yeah, well...
So you get around it legally.
Well, I think in many ways they became lads because their parents just weren't present enough when they were younger, so their parents may not even know.
That's how lads are born.
Didn't let them play computer games until they were too old, and then they became lads.
I see. There was board games for too long.
Didn't get the switch over right. Yeah, board games too long. Went on from board games to drinking.
Everyone knows board games are hugely misogynist,
and
it just creates monsters. What do you want to be when you grow up?
What do I want to be when I grow up? What, in terms of me, myself, or Police Boy?
Well, you're on your 50s, so you're pretty.
So when you're in your 60s,
well, you say I'm growing up, but as I said, I lived my life as a child because I sort of play child, so I sort of lived the life of a child. So like I sort of, I sort of eat quite a lot of sweets and I do that kind of a thing.
Skittles,
toffee, but only
fudge,
only red and yellow,
Milky Bar.
No, I'm allergic to white chocolate.
So you lactose intolerant or just the color?
No. The packaging on any white chocolate, I'm allergic to it.
So do you have a bit of a vendetta against the Milky Bar Kid? Wait, weren't you bullied by him as a child?
Sounds like you're a bit preoccupied with the Milky Bar Kid.
Yeah. Like, well, I was quite jealous of him because obviously I didn't have any family.
Yeah.
And he had all these people loving him. So I've sort of...
Well, and obviously he's strong and tough.
I sort of never watched any of his adverts after the first one.
You got to... Yeah, you got to just...
Because I had life. To palm it away. So maybe... I think this is my breakthrough film because I'm trying to incorporate like the kid I wanted to be into Police Boy, which was a lifesaver.
Okay. So this is your response to Milky Bar Kid.
But yeah, and I really...
Saying, hey, take that, Milky Bar Kid. You know... The Milky Bar Kid is not on me anymore. He's off me.
Yeah, I mean, where's the Milky Bar Kid now? Does anyone even eat white chocolate anymore?
Well, I certainly don't.
I would argue... Well, yeah, I don't, but it's an illness. I would argue that no one... When's the last time you ate white chocolate?
I never have.
Yeah.
How many times did he put your head down the toilet when you were younger?
Hey, Andy, this is a film podcast.
Literally or
maybe.
Theoretically?
Literally.
Literally none. Theoretically, I mean... He wasn't there, but...
He could have never stopped.
Like, I mean, he was in my head all the time.
Up in the head, sure.
And he was making me put my head down the toilet even when he wasn't there.
Did you guys ever even meet?
No, we never met, but I saw him from a distance once.
Theoretically, you
On
met.
TV?
No, I saw him in real life.
Oh.
Yeah. What was he doing?
What was he doing?
Mm. Doing a little horse?
Well, he was actually buying...
Oh, no, here we go.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Here we go.
He's sitting down, listeners.
Here we go.
Yeah.
I think I know what
he's doing. It's quite sad. He was in a coffee shop.
Yeah.
He was buying a coffee.
Yeah, and what else?
Ooh. That was it.
Yeah, knew it. Bloody knew
and,
it.
Well, I think he brought a cookie as well.
Oh, hold on. Was this any tasty
white chocolate cookie?
It wasn't white chocolate. No.
Course not.
No.
Busman's holiday for him, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Back to the film.
Who was the director? Was it someone you'd worked with before?
Well, I hadn't worked with him before, but we'd collaborated on a lot of projects together.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Okay, so it developed a bit of a sort of decent working relationship.
Well, not working because we never worked together, but we sort of, when we'd done stuff...
But you collaborated.
We'd collaborated.
Sure,
so we'd done stuff together before and we'd produced, well, like, he'd direct things and I'd been in it.
We never worked together.
Never worked together, but... No, this
just
guy...
Just collaborated with him.
This guy I'd collaborate on with loads of things, books, television programs.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, like throughout my life. He's, mm-hmm. He directs loads of things and whenever they need a child, he gets me along.
Okay.
Because I've got a really...
Childish body.
Voice.
Voice and body.
Voice, yeah.
It's so high.
It is, yeah, it's quite high. And also I can sort of...
We've pitched it down for the benefit of the listeners' ears.
Oh God, we had to. We listened back and you could not hear it. It was, you know,
like I'm on here.
Tim's dogs went insane.
Yeah.
I had to kick them out the back door.
Yeah.
They deserved it, though.
They did, because they were making a lot of noise.
Yeah.
People do get put off. Like, every film, they sort of tone my voice down a bit.
Sorry, who was the director again on this?
The director?
The person you'd never worked with before but had collaborated with on several projects, including TV and books.
Well, his first name was Chris.
Ah, yeah. Say no more.
Do you want to know his second name?
What did I just say?
Do you want to know?
Columbus?
No.
Okay, Tarrant?
No. He's Irish. Does that help you?
O'Dowd?
No.
O'Hanlon.
Chris O'Hanlon.
Chris O'Hanlon.
Yeah.
Very famous director.
Yeah.
Now, where do I know that name from?
You know that
probably
name
the stuff I've collaborated
from the books. The TVs.
And what's your working relationship with Chris O'Hanlon?
O'Hanlon.
Yes,
that's him. Because I know him quite well, I'm allowed to call him Christopher. So he lets me call him Christopher.
That's nice of him.
So what's my work? Well, the working relationship has only been it's only been 8 years, 3 months, because this is the first one we've done together.
Oh, so really in its infancy then?
Yeah, we've sort of, we
barely know each other.
Yeah, we've only touched each other a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Over 8 years, that's, you know.
But we've collaborated before, we've collaborated since I was a wee boy.
A wee boy?
A wee boy, yeah.
So before you're out on nappies.
Yeah, so
in the nappy advert that we saw you with a TV, obviously that's your debut.
Yes, my debut.
And yeah. He directed that.
He mm-hmm. told me where to walk.
And he was like, hey, this kid's got some moxie.
Yeah.
He thought I was a great child actor. Let's get him in a book.
Every child position he's got now, he puts me in.
And he puts you in every position.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And I've never needed to do any work as an adult actor because I can just play child roles.
See, that's the trick, isn't it? I guess people worry about the transition to adult acting, but if you can keep going as a child...
Macaulay Culkin.
What would you give old Kevin McSee? What Kevin advice McSee, would you give him?
McAllister. So he was obviously in the film...
Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, Macaulay Culkin.
Very famous child actor.
Yeah, I mean, like
he had that tricky aspect where he decided to stop being a child actor and start being an adult actor, yeah, which was a fatal flaw. It's a
terrible decision.
Why would you do that?
I have no clue. I think him and the girl that played Matilda out there bloody minds.
Mara Wilson.
Yeah. Out of her mind. Mm. I mean, just carry on being a child actor. Just
I mean, in many ways, she was worse than Macaulay.
Yeah.
Because really... What he did wasn't that bad. Like, because he did it for a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he was just like, I'll stop.
Richie Rich.
And then he had a long break. And then he came back as an adult. And, you know, you can see why he did that. Because he made a decision to stop altogether and then came back as an adult. Whereas Mara just tried to keep going.
Yeah, although she stopped now. I know her mum.
Yes. Because you're famously really cool.
Yeah. I only ever wear shorts.
You're like the modern day Fonz. You only ever wear shorts.
Only ever wear shorts.
And a leather jacket. Are you in touch with McCorky at all?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Touch with McCorky all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How's he getting on?
He's like fine. Moved into a new flat.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's got like double locks.
What? Does he keep the press out or is he just paranoid?
It's just like his previous place had triple locks and he thought it was a bit much.
Yeah, so he's got to turn it down a bit.
That's fair.
He's in a safe
area. Once you're an adult actor, you've got to just be a bit relaxed with that sort of stuff. It's fine, isn't it?
But yeah, he's good. Yeah, I went over there the other day. Like, I spent the night there. Had a bath.
His cameo was a...
jarring.
Say that again.
His cameo was...
jarring.
Wasn't it?
In...
the film.
Well, you say cameo.
That's right.
Like, he was the guy... I can tell you about this film because it's quite a funny story.
Oh! It's as good as a Berlin.
Tim, do you want to take that? You see it just at the back of your chair there? That's a seatbelt. If you could just strap in for a second.
Because he doesn't...
When he hears a funny story, he will end up on the other side of the room.
Click. Yeah. And now I'm on...
It's great to talk about.
Are you sitting down again?
It's great that you're in a car frame of mind because it's another car-based story. The film. So basically, when we got there, we got through the portal. Obviously, going through the portal broke the car.
Natch.
Because cars can't survive portals.
It's a portal, isn't it?
So we came out. It's only a Honda. Came out the other side. All we came through the portal was ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Me, big Huey boy, that was it, and the spare tyre, because obviously that could come through because it wasn't part of the car.
So just the spare window.
Just the spare. Spare. Got through. So we came out really near the house, okay?
Which house?
The house where Frederick I and Caitlin were
living. Caitlin, yeah.
We then, old big boy Bonzi. Yeah.
Billy big boy Hugh Hefner. Bonzi.
Subplot, trying to distract Frederick I.
Yeah. Oh, this guy. The guy who actually created the wormhole, created the portal.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, not wormhole, mm-hmm. portal.
Sorry, mm-hmm. portal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was distracting Frederick I. We got Caitlin, but obviously our car was broke.
Ah.
I remember from before.
So we got her out the thing.
Yep.
Brilliant scene. The people will love that.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a taxi other side of the road.
In 17th century or so?
Yeah.
How had that made it through?
That was there.
That was already there.
That was already there. But
this is interesting.
But the problem was, in the 17th century, they didn't have taxi drivers. So we got in the...
Why would you? No taxis. Yeah, so.
We got in the taxi, right?
Yeah. Was this okay.
We got in the taxi.
I could see what's coming.
And... so we all piled in, the three of us, me, Big Huey Boy, and Caitlin, into the back.
All three of you?
All three of us.
No.
Hang on. How'd all you three fit? Of you?
Yeah, like...
Shut up.
It was tight. We put the spare wheel in the boot.
Start again. How many in you the taxi?
Three of
Stop.
Us.
Start again.
Three.
Oh. That's too many.
I thought my seatbelt was tight enough, but apparently not.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've got whiplash.
Yeah, and then what happened?
Hold on. So then we got in the taxi.
What, again?
Stop. How many of you were there?
Six.
Well, there was three.
How many taxis?
One. Okay, yes. So we were in the taxi.
That's right.
With the spare tyre in the boot, because the boot had been open.
Ah, and the spare tyres can make it through, as we know.
Yeah. Because it wasn't attached to the car.
Mm.
We got in the bloody... We were in the bloody taxi.
Hold on. Not the bloody taxi.
Well, we were in it. So let's presume we're in a taxi.
Can we?
Yeah.
Again?
We get in the taxi.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
There's got to be about 16 of you in the taxi now.
This is what clown car.
We get in the taxi.
Yes.
We get in the taxi. And then we're sitting in the taxi.
Ah.
Thinking, where is the taxi driver? And this is where the old cameo of Macaulay Culkin comes in.
Oh, God.
He says...
Corkers. Is that a corker of a cameo?
It's the best cameo since the previous cameo that had been done in any film. He comes up to us and we're like, excuse me, mate. Well, I didn't say it because I can't speak Russian, but Big Huey Boy said it. Macaulay Culkin didn't say that, but he said,
character name.
Mate, where do you know where the taxi driver is? Taxi is. Like, he said it in Russian.
What did he say?
He said, do you know where the taxi driver is for this?
Do you know where the taxi driver is for this?
No, he said, do you know where the taxi driver is for this?
Oh, he mumbled it.
Yeah, he mumbled it.
But he mumbled it in Russian.
Mumbled it in Russian, which I obviously can't do because I'm not speaking Russian. Macaulay Culkin was like, what? In Russian.
Mm.
Caitlin repeated it. Clear, in brilliant Russian. Diction because her dad obviously forced her to have good diction. Elocution. Yeah.
Yep.
Says, where's the taxi driver? And he says, taxi drivers don't exist. And then he walked off. In. This is obviously a callback to Berlin.
Obviously
a callback to Berlin. We're sitting in the taxi. Now we know Macaulay Culkin's gone off.
See a sign.
We see a sign.
Yep.
And it says,
hold on.
It says, welcome to Russia.
Because
we're on the very border.
And what do you say?
And I say, Russia. They couldn't contain themselves.
I mean, I'm laughing.
I can't even breathe.
So, I mean, that's two. That's Russia.
Russia. Callback.
Beautiful. Can I ask one last question to finish with? Did the late great Big Huey
Hefner,
H-Dog, did he get the chance to watch this film before he tragically expired?
Well, okay. Well, I suppose you didn't know that he had died, but you would know if you'd seen the film before that.
It's tough talking about him. I think we'll dedicate this film to my old mucker, Big Huey Boy.
What
he saw the film. Old mucker.
Mucker, sorry.
Old mucker, yeah. Because before he worked in Playboy, he worked in a muckyard.
I need some muck.
What were your final words to him?
My final words to him? I think they were, I'm just going to the toilet.
And what would they be now?
It'd probably be, if I saw him now?
Now knowing that he's dead.
Now or knowing that he was about to die.
Knowing that he was about to die. I mean, I probably would have said, I'm just going to the toilet.
Because you were still going. I mean, what I mean? Yeah.
I was really...
But maybe add a goodbye.
I was really desperate. I don't think I would have.
No?
The conversation was sort of dying out and I was sort of happy to leave him. So...
Was it
the conversation or him that was dying out?
The conversation. He was still, fit as a fiddle then. I'll dedicate
I'm here to tell you, Ryan, that he wasn't because he died soon afterwards.
Well, no,
he's dead.
This was a good 7 months ago.
Good 7 months, was it?
Good 7 months, yeah. Best,
good press tour, yeah.
Best 7 months of my life because I didn't actually bump into him because he was a bore.
It was a wild pig.
It was a good... I'd like to dedicate... It was...
It's hard.
I haven't seen him for 7 months. I'll never see him again. It was a good 7 months because I was happy, but I do miss him. And if I could say some final words to him, it would probably be...
What if you could? I mean, imagine that.
What if he was dead or if he could hear me?
If you could say some final words.
If I could say some final words.
About him or to him?
To him.
No, he is dead.
About him.
That's it.
It would be Big Huey Boy was the greatest man I've ever met.
Yeah.
I would prefer to have him as my dad because he just was lovely and he gave me extra pillows at night and I love him more than I love anything in the world.
And he let you fuck any of the bunnies whenever you wanted, didn't he?
Yeah, but I...
All right, well, obviously the film was called Tsar Warsaw. Thank you very much.
I hope it changes people's lives.
I think it will.
Yeah, I think it will for the better, hopefully.
It certainly changed Hugh Hefner's life in that it ended it.
Hey, welcome back. We're doing the listener questions this week.
Yeah, time for listener questions. Should I get the mailbag?
Oh, please, could you? I played a little bit of a sport this week and my back's kind of hurting. So could you handle the mailbag by yourself?
What was
the
little bit of a sport?
The little bit of the sport was baseball.
Which little bit did you play of baseball?
I played the little bit with the stick and the ball.
Ah, the baseball pants.
Ah, the ball.
Oh, the home plate.
Mm.
And did you hit the ball with the base?
I slam dunked it.
Oh, good boy.
You sure? Yeah. Like, I could probably help with...
No, I played a bit of swimming this week.
Which bit?
I played a little bit of swimming. And my neck is really doing me some mischief.
Which bit of the swimming did you do?
The over-the-water stuff. Ah. So you splash it.
All right. Well, let's do some questions for this week. It's been a big week in the movies, big topics, big things happening. So I think we're going to have a lot of interesting questions.
Oh, hopefully a lot. It feels like a very full bag. Oh, hang on. No, there's only one question.
Ah.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I'll read it and then it'll be answered.
Please.
Okay, this is from Michael Smith. Guess how old he is?
4.
Obviously not. Guess again.
T2?
T2? 42. He's not Terminator.
You didn't let me finish.
Yes, he's 42.
Good.
Guess where he's from?
Germany.
That's right.
Germany.
Typical German name.
Ah, Germany.
Michael Smith.
Michael Smith from Germany.
Germany. And what's his star sign?
Aquarius.
Yeah, so this is a question from Michael Smith, 42 from Gemini. And he wants to ask us... Oh, this is interesting. This is actually about what we were talking about in the intro.
Ooh.
Harry Fords.
Oh, I know Harry Fords.
You do, actually. Yeah. So I'll ask it to
another
you.
Another opportunity to get some of my nugs out.
Oh, God. If only the audience could see your nugs.
Get my nugs out. Place them down there
on the table.
Tim, what do you think of my nugs?
That's a lovely pair of nugs you got there.
Thanks.
Shiny nugs. Okay. Here's a question. Michael. Yeah. I was going to. Michael wants to know. Okay. This is a. Dear Andy and Tim. It's just some stuff about his mum here. I'll skip through that. Dear Andy and Tim. Obviously, the new Blade Runner movie is about to be released.
Obviously.
Has been released. I'm glad he realizes it's obvious.
Yeah.
The marketing has been stellar. As we've seen from the interview. Obviously, the new Blade Runner movie is about to be released. I just wanted to know your thoughts on whether Harrison Ford is really... Oh, that's interesting.
What's he saying?
He's saying, I want to know your thoughts on whether you think Harrison Ford is right to continue remaking and rebooting his own franchises, considering his advancing years, especially given the fact that he obviously couldn't handle an on-set stunt fight with Ryan Gosling and hit him in the face, had his foot crushed during the filming of Star Wars Force Awakens, and crashed his plane, and is famously curmudgeonly and dreadful in interviews. And he just says, I wonder if it's right to reboot movies with the same actor that is now about 50 years older than when they first made them, and if that's really the best way to bring in a new, younger audience. So he just says, do you think that Harrison Ford should he stop?
Ooh, you bet your ass.
So you think he should stop?
No.
Right. There's your answer, Michael. You bet your ass, no.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.